Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
King is gone, long live the king. Ooh, curl! Like that.
Oh.
Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio. That's right. Today, Mr. Carl Kolchak would have been 100 years old today. Just thought we'd pass that along. Welcome to Erie House.
If he were alive today, he'd be dead. Yep.
He'd still be dead. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, 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 yep. Carl Kolchak, me. Welcome to Erie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here with
Dave Binkley from Weird This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and only here with the goat. But we're also here with...
You're also with the person who can scream louder with that than that goat, but has the good taste not to do so. Further, happy birthday to... Mr. Darren McGavin, not just Carl Kolchak, but also Mrs. Blaine, Mike Hammer as well.
Plus, a plethora of other roles. A man of note, Darren McGavin, he played a helpful policeman in The Delicate Delinquent with Jerry Lewis.
He played an Air Force soldier in the vehicle called The Trial of Billy Mitchell with Gary Cooper starring, and a very young Rod Steiger as well.
Rod Steiger was never young.
He was. I don't think so. And he also was in a series called, I think, Riverboat, and also he was in the miniseries The Martian Chronicles.
Yep.
Oh, yes, he was. So, he's done... Oh, yes, go ahead.
I didn't mean to shift gears, but I... Dave and Gar and I, and I'm sure you too, CW, if you've seen it, we were absolutely floored when we saw Fogg's Bane's page. Oh, my word. That is, like, the coolest thing ever.
That is... It really is, Fogs. We thank you for that. And
we are so...
We didn't even pay him to do that, folks. So go check his Facebook page out. But...
Feel like we oughta.
I know. We owe him something now.
That's right. And welcome, hi, Fogs.
My share of my salary.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Kick yours in, too. It'll... that's like a company match, right? All right, so... And in addition to Fogsbane in the chat, it's Ugga, Ugga Boo, Ugga Boo Boo, Ugga, Mr. Good Old Bob.
There you go.
Welcome back. You got up in time. All right.
It was nice seeing the GG Sci papers here yesterday too, Dale.
Oh,
back
man,
again.
It's been a long time. I was very excited to see them back with us enjoying
old-time
radio programs.
I know they catch us in the podcast portion, but it was nice to see them here live and in person.
Yeah. And after all that excitement about Darren McGavin and his centennial day, we almost forgot that we got another plane crash for you tonight.
We do. Yeah, kind of a bit of a sci-fi plane crash. How's that?
Good to me. A little CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep. I didn't get that yet. Okay.
Sounds like it's going to be a chilling tale. Arctic Encounter.
Very chilling.
Well, chilly. Well, I don't know. It's still not summer yet, so everyone wrap up warmly, get a hot beverage, put your seat up, and fasten your seatbelts, please. Assume crash position. Assume crash
That's
position.
Right. Which means put your head between your legs and kisses your behind goodbye.
Yep.
Because if this plane
crashes, like
crashes.
They told us to do during the during a tornado watch.
And
a
nuclear attack.
We were, Dale and I were a little young for the bomb lessons that the kids have. But we, for our tornado drills early on, that's what they had us do.
Oh, the classic way to scientifically proven to dodge nuclear fallout. Duck.
Yes.
And cover. Duck and cover.
What?
Okay,
you don't trust the science?
Don't trust the science. Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding. Oh, Jesus. things change. Things always change. Everything changes.
Science changes as it gets more information, right?
Exactly.
Is that what
exactly.
it does?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's called progress. We hope.
We hope, yes.
We're heading the right way.
For example, it's not been scientifically proven, but not disproven, that listening to old-time radio is coming to the senses, a zen modification, puts you towards your happy place.
I think it's a fact. I think it can be proven, especially.
I do too.
I think it's science fact.
Yeah.
It's more than just an old song.
ASMR.
It's logical.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's logical. It's the original ASMR.
See, even Fogsbane agrees. Here. All right. Arctic Encounter, you say it's a little science fiction-y, eh?
It is a little science fiction-y. We won't find that out right away, but we will find out.
Spoiler alert.
In Act 2, I believe. Yes.
Well, that'll come after Part one, which we might as well jump right into. A nice long segment here. Arctic Encounter. And it was CBS Radio Mystery Theater number
840.
Originally broadcast.
May 26th, 1978. I still had that many fingers, yeah.
Or 70 and 80.
Stereotypes are easily learned and less easily forgotten.
Uh-oh.
I'm Michael Landon, reminding you that children need to become aware of the similarities that bring us together as human beings. This year, the National Conference of Christians and Jews is celebrating its 50th anniversary of advancing the cause of human understanding and dignity through its youth and education programs. Find out more about these programs by calling the NCCJ office nearest you. Thank you.
The preceding message was presented as a public service announcement of this station.
Street Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Somewhere in desolate, windswept space, in twilight land, in no man's land, two hurrying shades met face to face and bade each other stand. Space, twilight land, no man's land. You'll find it between the stars, in the frozen polar wastes, and inside the soul of every man.
You have to help us, Pappy!
You forget, I'm not Pappy. I'm not George Papadopoulos any longer. I've become something else.
You're still an officer in the United States Air Force. You took an oath to defend your country.
But I don't have a country anymore.
Your country is still the United States.
Why are you so excited? In just a little while, the United States will no longer exist.
Our mystery drama, Arctic Encounter, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you carry Master Charge, you carry Count. for me, clout is buying that magnificent painting to put over the mantel. It's vibrant, it's alive, it's modern, it's abstract, and yet it makes a statement. To me, it's saying, well, it's
upside down, is what it's saying.
When you carry Master Charge, you carry clout.
Master Charge, use its clout. Of the world, those frozen, silent polar wastes. Or are they wastes? These vast, illimitable prairies of snow and ice. It is said that beneath them lie the greatest riches of the earth, the oils, the metals, all the sinew and substance of modern civilization. And perhaps here are even hidden the ancient secrets of the planet itself. At any rate, the stillness is broken every day by the noise of the airplanes as they fly back and forth, looking, listening, charting, recording. The airplanes which show the white stars of our Air Force and the red stars of theirs.
Bunny Hutch calling White Rabbit.
This is White Rabbit, Bunny Hutch.
Location check.
Coordinates 34 and 16.
Activity?
Negative.
Roger.
Hey, Dawson, what's for chow at the base?
Oh, better you shouldn't ask.
Now, what's the movie they're showing?
Better you shouldn't know.
It's going to be one of those nights, huh?
Roger.
And up. Pappy, another action-filled evening awaits us at the base.
You wanted action? You should have joined the Marines.
Bite your tongue. Besides, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
Yeah, so I've heard.
It is true that on this assignment, I do not get to practice my avocation as frequently as I would prefer. However,
we must all make sacrifices for our country.
What are we doing up here inside this frosted-over refrigerator, Pappy?
Ours not the reason why, Chappie.
Here we are, Pappy and Chappie, the Happiness Boys.
You remember the Happiness Boys?
I never even heard of them.
They were a team. Oh, 40, 50 years ago on radio.
You have to be kidding. I just made that
no,
up.
No, it's true. I read all about them. Billy Jones and Ernie Hare. Snappy songs and patter. And there was Uncle Don.
Happy you never cease to amaze me.
This is Uncle Don, your Uncle Don. Hello, little friends. Hello.
Where do you get all of this?
Research.
You are a very deep person.
What else is there to do up here but read? You had to try it, Chappie.
Well, I did try it. I actually read a book once. I wouldn't want to go through it again.
What time do you have?
1300 on the head.
That's a nice thought. Well, I wonder where they are. What could have happened to Ivan?
Yeah, now that you mention it, what indeed?
You don't see him, do you?
Nope. At exactly 1300, he's supposed to be visible at 11 o'clock.
No sign of him. Do we report it?
Why should we?
Tell me honestly, if we were to spot him right now, would we report it?
Well, you know we would.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, you know why.
Tell me.
Because if we do spot Ivan, that's a happening.
And if we don't spot him?
That's a non-happening.
Well, I'll tell you who would disagree with that.
Who?
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Well, now, don't bring your English friends into this thing.
He once wrote a story in which every night, this dog would bark. Now, you follow this?
It's not all that hard.
However, on this particular night, the dog did not bark.
He didn't?
He did not. Which is just as significant as what may be happening out here.
In what way?
Each day for the last 30 days on patrol, we fly by Ivan. Today, we don't. Why not?
Okay, why not?
I don't know. Could it be significant?
Let's throw it at Dawson. Maybe we can ruin his day. White Rabbit, calling the Hutch.
This is Bunny Hutch. Come on in, White Rabbit.
I have an unusual occurrence to report.
Proceed, White Rabbit.
The dog did not bark.
Yes?
That's it.
What's it?
That Spaskov two-motor observation plane we fly by over coordinates 3416 to 1300. Well, it's the first time in 30 days that we haven't seen him. I thought you'd like to know.
I'm going to put you in for the Legion of Merit.
Thank you. Now, can you tell us a movie for tonight?
Sherlock Holmes in the Heart of the Baskervilles.
This is Hutch, over and out.
You know, that Dawson, he must think we're crazy.
Look, in this outfit, if you're not crazy, you go crazy. What do you suppose did happen to Ivan today?
Well, they could have changed the patrol route.
I don't think so. Not till we do. The idea is to keep an eye on us.
Yeah, just like we're keeping an eye on them.
Naturally.
Maybe Ivan goofed and got themselves sent to Siberia.
From here, that would be a promotion.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about Ivan. One of them might be an Olga.
What's this?
If you listen real close to their messages, one of them sounds like a dame.
Dame with a deep voice.
Oh, they all got deep voices, those Olgas. I mean, they're built. Did you ever see pictures of them sweeping the snow off of the streets? Those are large ladies.
Well, on the other hand, some of them are frail and wispy, floating little ballerinas.
Yeah, I like mine somewhere in between.
So you think one of the Ivans is an Olga, huh?
You could win money on it.
Why you say that?
Instinct. Just let there be a dame within a thousand miles.
Well, if she is, she's probably the only one.
I wonder how I could meet her.
Chappie, with all the dames that we have in the United States of America...
Now, Pappy, you're taking an isolationist, a chauvinistic point of view.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to offend you.
Why are we here? To maintain peace.
Any fool knows that.
What better way to promote peace than for people to come together and really get to know each other? Now, you take this Olga. I bet she's just as anxious for a few laughs as we are. Yeah, I can see her now. Dark hair, black eyes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was always my type. Oh, God, we're such fools, you and I. Why are we being kept apart?
Don't tell me you're in love with her already.
How long do you think it takes, Pappy?
Chappie, take a look. Far distance.
What?
2 o'clock on the ground.
Yeah?
What do you think it is?
What do I think? What? Ooh.
Check it through the glasses. That's not my imagination, is it?
No, that's something all right.
Let's have a good look.
It looks like a plane.
Not in one piece, either.
It's Ivan, all smashed up.
It's a Spasskov two-motor.
It must have come down hard, too. Do you think anyone's alive there?
No, there's something funny going on. We should have heard a distress signal.
Maybe he didn't have a chance.
If he's down, it's a cinch. He's missed out on a checkpoint. His base should be trying to reach him.
I don't hear a thing.
Call the Hutch. Tell him what we got.
I sure hope Olga's okay. White Rabbit, calling the Bunny Hutch. Come in, Bunny Hutch. Bunny Hutch?
What's the matter?
I can't raise the base. Come in, Bunny Hutch. This is White Rabbit.
Hey, the light's on.
What the?
The radio's dead.
What the? What?
Chappie, we're losing power.
What's going on?
Everything's out.
We're going down.
Chappie, he's back on her. Back.
What's happening, Pappy? What's going on? Pappy, yeah? You okay?
I don't know. I feel kind of numb. How's the plane?
I think we're in one piece.
Well, that's something. I suppose there's any point asking about the radio.
You can ask.
Well?
Everything's out. And I can't get anything started.
How could we lose all our power?
I don't know. It's as if...
As if what?
As if somehow suddenly it all just drained out. I know that sounds crazy.
What can we do?
I don't know.
I don't either. Just asking to pass the time.
Pappy, is anything broken?
I don't think so. I just feel nothing.
Can you move?
Yeah, maybe if you help me. The question is, where would we go?
Well, we just have to sit tight.
Yeah, provided that we don't...
We're not going to freeze.
Without power, we can't make any heat in here.
Now, look, we got these lanterns in the emergency locker. That's what they're for, to give heat. There's plenty of blankets... Some food.
How far do you figure we're from base?
Oh, 250 miles. We can hold on.
Yeah.
In about an hour, they'll be out looking for it.
Wonder how Ivan's doing.
I'm going to go look. Now, let's get those heat lanterns going first.
Chappie. How do you account for the fact we both came down in exactly the same spot?
I don't know.
Is there a reason?
I don't know.
There is such a thing as coincidence, but suppose it isn't a coincidence. Then what?
Well, then, it's one for the deep thinkers, which lets me out. All right, I think I got the lamps burning. Things will be nice and warm when I come back in.
Nice and warm. Be lucky if we can hold the temperature above freezing.
Well, that's cozy for this neighborhood. Hold the fort.
Now, listen, don't stay out there too long. Just a quick look and back. It's 70 below out
there. You know what they say. It's a nice, dry cold.
Be careful.
Why? What could happen? Why, it's cold. How do you get this thing open? The door should swing it. I was jammed. Boy, I don't see how anybody could be. Wait. Oh, it's Olga. Olga, Olga, hold on. I'll get you loose from there. Come on. Come on. Now, Olga, listen, do you speak, what's the word? Panemaya English, Olga?
English? Yes.
Yeah, are you okay, Olga?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Dmitri.
Who?
Dmitri, the navigator, Dmitri Denisova. Where is Dmitri?
I don't know. I don't see anyone else.
But
maybe he went for help.
How? Where?
Well, I don't know. But he isn't here.
He was hurt. I heard him. He could not have gone.
But he is gone. I mean, the way you must have come down and the shape the ship is in, you're lucky to be alive. Can you move?
Yes. Okay.
Now listen. By any chance, would your radio be working?
Radio? No. All here is dead. All power is, how do you say in English, kaput.
Yeah. Well, that's just great.
Great?
I was hoping we could use your radio to call for help.
Help?
Yeah, we need help.
But I do not understand. Are you not the help?
Oh, no. You see, we're in the same fix that you are. We lost all our power, too.
Oh, you lost the power?
Yeah, everything. It just died on us. I guess the same thing must have happened to you.
You lost the power?
That's what I'm telling you.
Then it is true.
What's true?
The rumor.
What kind of rumor?
There is something out here.
Yeah? Well, what about it?
Something that will destroy us all.
We've been looking at the world in terms of absolutes. We and they. We and they dominate the core of every dispute. We and they are the two superpowers. Each of us can unleash the forces that can completely destroy the world. Now, is there a third party that has dealt himself, or which has dealt itself, a hand in the game? We'll play showdown. In Act Two.
Hi, I'm Mike Connors. If you've ever wondered what happens to the money you give to the Kidney Foundation, here are some examples. A kidney machine that fits in a suitcase and can be carried anywhere in the world and set up in a matter of minutes by the patient himself. This life-saving machine developed with your Kidney Foundation support will soon be generally available. Here's another example. A little chemical pellet that is taken orally by patients with failing kidneys. These pellets may substantially shorten dialysis treatment. More than that, these pellets may eventually eliminate dialysis entirely for some patients. In a research center, scientists are trying to develop an antibody that will prevent certain basic cells from causing rejection of transplanted organs, a major problem in kidney transplantation. These are just three of the ways your dollars help kidney research. To do more, give more to the Kidney Foundation. Give the gift of life.
The good old days before kidney harvesting. Anyway, well, that was part one of CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Right. And this one's starring the guy from Smuckers and the second best Johnny Dollar out there.
Yep. The Mason Adams.
I didn't know much about Mandel Kramer, except that he did a lot of old radio and such. And there's not a lot on him, but he was born March 12th, 1916 in Cleveland, Ohio. I think I've heard of that place.
Perfect.
And he passed away January 29th, 1989 in Chappaqua, New York, of a heart attack.
Chappaqua. Cleveland.
Isn't
Cleveland north of a little community? What's it called?
Parma?
There we go.
Oh, man. Walked right into that one, didn't I?
Eh, the one time I was ready. Okay, so... Thank you for not blowing that cheap opportunity for yet another silly soundbite here on... House
there
Radio.
That's what we're here for.
That's right. And the Kishka. It's all free.
And the Kishka.
And the Kishka.
And the radio.
Yeah,
and the radio.
Go ahead.
We're hearkening back to when, before Perestroika, before Glasnost, before that schmuck known as Putin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is during the Cold War. You could definitely tell we are still in the midst of the Cold War here.
Yep. And did I see correctly, before we get on to part two of this Cold War-ish type story, did I see that Edgar will be on at 8 right after Erie House?
He will
right?
be. Yep.
Good.
Gar will be on right
after.
Well done.
Gar, if you're listening and applying makeup.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
He says it never fails to crack him up, so hopefully I made him smear himself and start over.
he messed up his makeup. Yeah. 25 minutes more worth of work he's got to redo now. Jeez.
Deviltry.
Yep.
Yeah, this is already taking a little kind of an odd turn just before the break here, this story.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that two planes crash at the same place. I mean, this is not the Bermuda Triangle, you know?
No, they
although,
have a giant magnet.
Although there are about five places in the world that act like the Bermuda Triangle, Bermuda Triangle being the most, the best known of them.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. There are odd circumstances.
Yes. One of them being Amber Heard's bed. Amber Heard's bed.
Oh, okay.
Vortex.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a crappy joke. I'm sorry.
Now, look what you did. You've corrupted poor Dave's delicate sensibility. Shame on you.
I know. I am. Regularly.
That's okay. I don't have any sensibilities. I don't have any sensibilities, so it's okay.
Yes, Dave is senseless. That I keep forgetting.
Oh, no.
There's some filters I don't have, so I did kind of... I've enjoyed that.
I think Dave has a lot more sense than I do.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, my. Why we got radio tonight? Yeah.
Not so radio.
But this is getting very intriguing, a la, say, the big forerunner of X-Files. Anyone saw the first X-Files movie where it sort of ended up in the Arctic and we're in the Arctic right now? You know the Arctic where it used to be cold.
Yeah. And now where the polar bears are, you know, renting out spawns. Yeah.
It's also where the Thing landed. Oh, no. I think the Thing landed in Antarctica. Sorry. other side of the
Earth.
Are
we in Antarctic? Yeah, other side of the planet. Still, cold. Cold. Icy
cold.
Cold
stuff.
Cold stuff.
Isn't that my idea of a fun place? Let's go ahead and hit part two of Arctic Encounter. We'll be back. Where the goat went.
The cold, frozen, forbidding north. The wasteland of snow and ice. And yet, man has ever been drawn there. But unlike the forests that can be cleared and the deserts that can be watered, the North will always resist and reject us. Nothing of ours can take root or hold fast. The North, indifferent, implacable, ready to make of each visitor a victim.
It is said something is here that can destroy us all.
Sure, but that's old stuff. Cold, exposure, starvation.
No. Something.
All right. What? What is it?
I do not know. It is a rumor.
Who started it?
Who starts rumors? Do you not have rumors in your Air Force?
Oh, sure. Lots of them.
Can you tell? Do you know who starts those rumors?
Sure. I do.
You?
Sure. I have to do something for a laugh.
Yes, but this is not a rumor to have fun.
No. So what kind of rumor is it?
Something is here that will kill all life.
What?
They say something from out there.
Out where?
The stars.
Space?
Space, yes, yes, space.
Well, why not?
Oh, you believe?
I'm ready to believe anything.
They say it landed here, or fell here.
It could very well be.
Oh, you will not say to anyone I said it to you.
Ah, mum's the word.
I have told a secret.
It's safe with me.
Nichiro.
What does that mean?
It means it does not matter. Nothing will now matter.
Oh, come on. I admit things appear to be somewhat bleak. However, let us look at the bright side.
We shall not leave here alive.
Don't say that.
It is true.
Now, don't say that. I mean, my outfit, your outfit, they know pretty much where we are.
No, nothing can save us.
Look, the cold is starting to bite through. We'd better get over to my ship.
But you have no power.
You know, we've got lanterns, we've got blankets, we've got food.
And soon it will be gone.
Hopefully, by that time.
A few more hours of life. Yes, we shall cling to a few more hours of life.
You better help me swing the door shut. The lamps are out.
The fuel. It must be gone.
No, it's only been a couple of minutes, and there was plenty. Wait a minute. Pappy? George Papadopoulos, my pilot. He's gone.
Gone?
Pappy, where are you?
He went perhaps to look for you.
He knew where I was going.
Oh.
Besides, he was hurt. He couldn't move.
Like Dimitri.
Do you have a weapon?
A revolver.
I've got a 45.
What good?
I don't know. Let's see if we can get the lanterns going before it gets too cold in here.
No, they cannot. They cannot burn.
Why not?
You see, they are not burning now.
Well, they could have gone out by some fluke or accident.
They will not light again.
We can try. First, you have to pump this gadget here. Hey, there isn't any fuel. But the tanks were full.
Yes, yes. It is the something that is out here.
We're on that again, huh?
It must be something that eats fuel and energy.
Olga, we have to raise the base. Your place or mine. That's a laugh.
What is?
Well, what I just said, your place or mine.
Why is that a joke?
Well, it's funny because of the circumstances.
Yes?
It's all right. Maybe one day I can explain it.
No, explain now. This is the only day. An hour 2 hours. We will freeze.
Olga, somehow we are going to get that radio started.
No.
We'll figure a way.
We must not.
We must not?
We must not try to fix radio.
But why?
Because if so, we will call for help.
Well, sure. That's the idea of the thing.
We must not call for help.
What, you mean we should freeze to death? Starve?
Why have you fallen from sky?
Because we saw your ship on the ground.
Yes. And when you came near, what happened?
We crashed.
Yes. There's something that destroys our plane, destroys also yours. Now will come other airplanes to find us both. And when they see us and come close, then there's something makes them crash also.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't be able to fix the radio anyhow. What is this something?
Oh, who can say?
And we might have had a beautiful friendship.
No.
No? Why no?
You are not a serious person.
And I take it you are?
Oh, yes. Very serious. You are, what word do I want? Frivolous.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
You admit then.
Yeah, that's why we'd be so good for each other.
We have 1 hour, two, maybe 3 hours to live. Should we talk this way?
Why not?
So personal?
Well, what else should we be talking about?
We should have discussion on, you would call it dialectical materialism.
All right. Dialectical. You begin.
Nietzsche.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. Olga, listen.
I have to say something. My name is not Olga.
You didn't?
No. I am called Praskovia.
Ah.
Praskovia Alexandrovna Sorokin.
You want me to call you whatever that is?
No. It's better Olga.
My name is Stuart Maitland Chapman III, but you can call me Chappie.
Chappie?
It's close enough.
I am honored to make your acquaintance.
I can see your eyes are blue. But underneath your helmet, what color is your hair?
Blonde.
Yeah. When I think of what might have been.
What might have been?
Had we met under different circumstances.
But under different circumstances, how could we have met?
Yeah, I guess that's part of the problem. We had to have a disaster. Well, what are we going to do about it?
Do?
We can sit here, maybe hold hands, and wait till we freeze to death. Or...
Yes. Or?
Or we can fight it.
Fight what? Who?
Whoever and or whatever is doing this to us.
How?
I was afraid you'd ask me that. Look. What made both our ships come down? What robbed us of all of our fuel, of our energy?
Something. A something?
All right, okay. Let's try to find that something and destroy it or shut it off.
But where is it?
And where is your man Dimitri and Pappy? I mean, what could have happened to them?
I am cold.
Yeah, we're starting to feel it. And it won't get better. Look, while we can still move, while we can still care, do you want to try to go out there and find it? Fight it or whatever?
Yes. How quiet. How still. There's not even a wind.
Nope, just cold. And the cold is enough.
Oh, the silence. It frightens you.
Honey, everything out here scares the daylights out of me.
No, Choppy. You are brave.
Yeah, crazy describes it better.
Oh, Choppy.
What is it?
My hand.
Your hand?
The wrist.
What's wrong?
The feeling. Pins.
What?
Pins. Many pins. 100 pins. 1,000. Sticking at my wrist.
No. Don't take your glove off.
My wrist.
If you expose any part of your skin.
But the pins.
Do you have a wristwatch?
Yes.
Now move back. Move back here. Quickly.
I.
Is it better?
Yes. Yes.
Now move back further. Okay. How does it feel?
The pins. They are no longer. It is gone.
Okay.
Okay, now we know for sure. It's something. It goes for metal, for fuel, for energy, for, I guess, anything. Everything.
Choppy. Blue. Thing.
What?
In
what?
Front of you. 20 meters. A thing. It is like a...
It's like a... Like a box.
Yes.
But it isn't blue. It's turning red.
Choppy, I feel warm.
Yeah, so do I.
It means we begin to freeze.
No, it isn't that kind of warm. It's not like you feel pleasant and drowsy.
It is hot.
Why should we feel hot? Does it have anything to do with that thing?
It becomes more and more red, as if it burns.
That thing? It's causing everything that's happening. Must be a piece of machinery of some kind. What do you think?
Yes.
Well, maybe there's a switch. Maybe there's a way to shut it off.
No, you cannot go near.
I'll have to.
No, Choppy, return.
Oh.
Choppy.
The needle. I feel needles sticking.
Return, Choppy, return.
Oh.
It is what I felt, no?
Yeah. Oh,
it has gone, the pain.
Well, I guess you can only get so close and then... Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Wait a minute. Maybe we can destroy it.
How?
We'll have to do it from here. You've got a revolver.
Hmm?
I have a .45. Let's shoot at it.
But what if...
Yeah? What if what?
I do not know.
Honey, what have we got to lose? Are you a good shot?
I am expert.
Here goes. It's Pappy.
Don't shoot.
Hold your fire, Olga. Hold your fire. Pappy? Is that you?
It sounds like Pappy. Whatever did happen to him anyhow. But as our friends look in every direction, there is absolutely no sign of Lieutenant George Papadopoulos or of Captain Dmitri Andreev either. There is only the endless frozen waste, the shattered remains of the two military observation planes, and a box, which first appeared to be blue, but now is glowing a fiery red. This is the picture. Hold it in mind for the next few minutes, and then we shall return with Act 3.
Once in a while you find someone who knows what to do, and that's someone talk to. Once in a while you find someone who cares about you, someone you can talk to.
For life and health insurance that puts your individual needs first, talk to your life underwriter. Get advice, personal service, and that special expertise in making the future secure. Your life underwriter, only a phone call away.
We all need someone to talk to.
A message from the National Association of Life Underwriters.
Road is long.
Here is Celeste Holmes.
From the earliest years of this nation, Americans have been involved people, stirred as much by conscience as by commerce. Today, in our complex global community, each one of us is a citizen of the world. You and I are challenged to extend conscience to commitment, to help heal and strengthen, educate and train all of our brothers and sisters who seek to build a richer, fuller life with dignity.
Everywhere on Earth, the fight for a better life goes on. Answer that challenge through the Catholic Relief Service's annual appeal, the Protestant One Great Hour of Sharing, and the United Jewish Appeal.
Together, we have made a difference.
Together, we're taking your money. All right.
And my brother is heavy. Yeah. Yeah.
Part two is this tale gets a little more heavy duty.
Yeah, I haven't had a box talk to me since the last time I went through a fast food drive through.
Yep. You mean the one that goes, it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher?
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Isn't Pappy first name George, George Papadopoulos? Is that Pappy's full name?
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Could be.
Yes. Do you know, I'm wondering if someone who wrote this radio play went on into television, because that was just grinding at my memory cells, such as they are, the character of George Papadopoulos.
I don't think so. This is written by Sam Dan, who actually wrote a great number of these episodes. I'm trying to get to that right now. Let's see. He wrote 311 of the Radio Mystery Theater scripts. And after that was over, he wrote one book. And as far as I know, that's all he wrote.
That's all he wrote.
I mean, that's a lot there, but I just mean... He didn't do other novels or television or anything like that.
Television, et cetera. Because I'm thinking someone must have been listening to the radio play and thought, wow, that's an interesting name, Papadopoulos, which is a mouthful, even by Greek standards, with all due respect to Greece. Hello, Greece, Opa. You know,
good musical.
But the character of George... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You got it.
The character, anyway, George Papadopoulos was the name of former football player and actor Alex Karras' name in the sitcom Webster.
Oh, that's
right.
I think it was. I'll be darned.
I know, Papadopoulos.
Little Emmanuel Lewis.
Exactly.
Yes. The memory glands are working.
Indeed. Well, Papadopoulos is not a name one easily forgets. Papadopoulos, 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 Parma.
Oh, no, that's not fair. You snuck up on me. Oh, man.
We'll short write up on
There we go. A little delay there.
Okay. It does appear, it says, before writing 311 scripts for CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Sam Dan wrote for short films and TV anthology programs. So he did do some writing for television. He was a rainbow soldier in World War II. What is a rainbow? Where's Gar when you need him? What is a rainbow soldier? I do not know that.
Somebody...
I don't
want to
say.
No, Dale, you can't say that on the radio.
I know.
Not only did he write 311 scripts, he actually also appeared in 438 episodes, which means he had little small bit parts here and there that never got credited for. So it's really cool that he got that they mentioned the 438 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater he was in.
And I'm just terribly curious what these are.
What was that? Phil Sam Dan, huh?
Rainbow Soldier.
Rainbow Soldier,
okay. World War II, the Rainbow Soldier.
Oh, 42nd Infantry Division. It was just an insignia they had on their sleeve.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's as exciting as it pretty much gets. Part of the National Guard.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
I was once a member.
Yeah.
In Ohio.
It's not like a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. So once a National Guard, always a National Guard. That isn't true.
I think to some degree in the service, there is a feeling of loyalty. I mean, I would hope you would have that if you're joining the service. I mean, come on. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. The insignia came because some upper echelon officer saw a rainbow, thought it was a good omen, and slapped the infantry with that insignia. Thus,
oh,
the
cool
rainbow soldiers.
That's cool.
Well,
a cool origin story.
Screaming,
if that's the real reason, it is cool. Yeah.
Well, what if he'd seen a goat screaming outside in the meadow? The screaming goat.
They'd have a goat there. They'd have a goat there, yeah.
I wonder what it would sound like.
Probably something like this.
That's what I was I'm just trying to egg you on there.
Ah, there you go. That harkens to the movie Men Who Stare at Goats.
The men who scream at goats. The man who screams at goats.
Actually, I was trying to say the men who stare at goats. That was
different.
A movie.
Stare at goats. Oh, okay.
Stare at
goats. Was that really a movie?
Based on the...
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. It was, and it's real. It was based on the Tax Dollars at Work CIA experiment, because the CIA believed in psychic phenomenon. People could read your minds. You could have someone come into a room and they draw these esoteric lines and say, whatever you're looking at is here. Good luck with that. Because if I could do that, here would be the lotto numbers, and everybody's going to go, who's listening to this broadcast, play those numbers, and thank you.
Yeah, we'd all get a buck, though. Well, maybe not this broadcast, but... We'd still do all right.
Well,
a buck might be an improvement.
Yeah, that's true.
Most definitely.
The buck I didn't have before.
You are. Yeah. So there are men who scream at goats.
Men who scream at goats.
And they work in the CIA, huh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
As one does. I don't know what that means.
Well, as Weird Al says, it's a party in the party at the CIA.
Here you go. And let's resume our party in the Arctic adventure with Arctic Encounter from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Let's roll back to 1978 again. I was but a lad of 18.
As I was going up the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd stay away. Well, Lieutenant George Pappy Papadopoulos, United States Air Force, is definitely not there. And while Lieutenant Stuart Maitland Chapman doesn't exactly see him, he hears him, which can be classified as the same basic type of problem. All right?
Don't shoot, Arca. Don't shoot. Is that you, Pappy?
Yes. Yes, it is me.
Where are you?
That's a good question.
Well, do you have a good answer?
I have an answer. I don't know how good it is. On the other hand, good or bad, I'm not sure those are distinctions that matter too much anymore.
Pappy, don't try to kid the troops. This is me you're talking to.
I'm aware of that.
What's the drill?
I'm a part of it.
You're part of what?
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, but it's not impossible. Where are you?
Obviously, I'm here.
I was right, Pappy. One of the Ivans was an Aga.
Yes. And the other one is called Dimitri.
Aga, where's his voice coming from?
From... Oh, it cannot be.
From where, Aga?
Her name isn't Olga. It's Praskovia.
Right now, that's not the problem. From where, Aga?
It comes from
the box.
That's what I thought. Are you in there, Poppy?
Yes.
It cannot be. It is impossible.
His voice. It must be a tape.
Dimitri told me all about her.
Poppy, what is this?
I'm trying to explain it. This is a thing.
What kind of thing?
Like, you could call it a world.
What do you mean? A world?
A world. Like the one you live on.
You said a world like the one we live on?
Right.
Does that mean it's another one?
Yes. You could say that.
Oh, Pappy, for crying out loud.
Choppy, you must be calm.
You realize he's my best friend, and I can't understand a thing he's talking about.
Why is so difficult? A world. Another world. So?
Where is it, Poppy? Where is it, and where are you?
The box.
The box?
What do you think this box is?
Well, it looks like...
It looks like computer from Sputnik.
That's right.
A Sputnik?
A satellite.
Ours or theirs?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was dead.
It was dead?
Yes. It just floated in space until...
Well?
Until this wandering world...
What wandering world?
Well, it's a kind of...
A kind of what?
I'm looking for a word to describe it.
I must be crazy. I'm hearing things.
Intelligence. That's the word.
A world of intelligence?
Yes.
Well, what kind of a world is that?
Just thoughts, ideas.
What kind of thoughts and ideas?
Everything. All kinds of images and fancies.
And what else?
Nothing else.
Nothing else? I mean, that's enough to make up a whole world?
Yes.
She understands.
Our world is ideas. But to support ideas, we need, how do you say, physical bodies.
I still don't understand it.
This is a world of pure intelligence. It doesn't need bodies. It's evolved far beyond that point.
But you haven't told me where it is.
Yes, I did. It's in that box.
The whole world? In that small box?
How much space do you need for an idea?
How did it get here?
The satellite was in space. It attracted this floating world.
Yeah? Why?
Because...
Why?
I think this is something he doesn't want to tell us.
I will tell you. Because it doesn't make any difference now. The world, this world, it needs nourishment. And...
I think I know where you're headed, Pappy.
And it takes its energy wherever it can find it. It floats or wanders or prowls through space and feeds on anything it can turn into mental energy.
How did it get here?
The satellite died and it fell and landed. The world, my world.
Your world?
Yes, Chappie, I'm part of it now.
But you're an American.
Oh, I'm part of a different world.
Well, what are you doing?
Well, what are you doing? You're living. The same thing with us. We live. That is, we try to maintain life just as you do.
Don't say we and you like that.
But it is we and you now. We seek sustenance, nourishment, just as you do.
Oh, come on, Poppy. It's all a joke. It's a big gag.
No, it isn't.
There's a punchline. There has to be a punchline somewhere.
We feed on energy. All energy, animal, vegetable, mineral, just as you do.
Can you understand him, Olga?
Yes, I believe I understand.
And what we consume, what we are nourished by, becomes a part of us. Adding to us another intelligence. The difference between us is that what nourishes you becomes a part of your body. What nourishes us becomes a part of our intelligence.
Are you telling me... This thing, this intelligence, this world, killed you?
No. It saved me.
Saved you?
I was dying. So was Dimitri. So when it came, I couldn't resist. The way you can, still.
What do you mean, still?
You see, the intelligence that I'm part of is nourished now. All the energy from the two planes, from Dimitri, from me. It is filled with fire, creative fire. Even you can feel the glow. But soon we will need more. And from hot red, we shall recede into cold blue. And then?
Yes, then?
Then you will become weak. From hunger. From cold. And you will not have the strength. You will also become part of this world.
No.
It isn't bad. Not at all.
We have to fight you, Pappy.
How? How can you fight me?
Olga, we have to get out of here. Do you understand?
Yes.
In a few hours, my base, yours, will send out search planes. Those planes, if they fly by here, they'll be brought down by this thing.
We must not be here.
They must spot us away from the range of this thing.
How far can you go, Chappie? How far in this cold? A mile?
He's right, but we have to do something.
Yes, but what?
It doesn't matter. Soon you'll be one of us.
Us.
Be grateful. We will save your life.
Oh, sure.
Instead of dying of the cold, you'll be rescued by our world. You'll be part of the intelligence. I would have died. Dimitri would have died.
No.
There's nothing you can do about it in any event, Chappie. You see how the red is fading? Soon we will need more energy. You will become colder and weaker.
And the others?
What others?
You know what others. Your old buddies, the guys in your outfit.
I no longer have an outfit. Why can't you understand
they'll
that?
They'll fly by. They'll see the wrecks. They'll come in closer. They'll be trapped and destroyed just as we were.
Not destroyed. Just changed. Changed.
Olga, can you think of something? What can we do?
Chappie, do you realize this is the first time in your life you ever asked a woman for advice?
Well, maybe she's the first one I ever met who I felt like asking.
Why do you think you can ask me?
Well, because... Oh, come on.
Tell me.
Well, it's because... Well...
I understand. It is difficult for you to say it.
Maybe.
It's difficult for me also.
What's going to happen to us?
Nothing. You'll both blend into this one great intelligence. You'll be part of this world.
No. Oh,
Choppy, it is getting cold.
It is.
See, the box is now turning blue.
Olga, we have to do something.
Oh, let us sit close to each other and wait.
Wait for what?
Oh, Nichivo.
No. No, we have to fight. Pappy.
Yes.
Come on, Pappy. You have to help us fight this thing.
Chappie, I am this thing.
No, not you. You're Lieutenant George Papadopoulos, the most popular guy in the 199th Squadron.
No.
You can't drop it like that. Your friends, your country. I mean, you can't cast them aside like a snake gets rid of a skin. You took an oath.
You don't understand.
What's here to understand? A guy betrays his country. That's clear enough. And it's bad enough. But you're even worse.
Don't say that, Chappie.
Don't you call me Chappie. That's for my friends. Lieutenant Chapman to you. I'll tell you why you're worse. It's not just your country you're selling down the river, but it's humanity. It's your own kind of people.
Listen to me. This is a whole new...
A whole new nothing. You say every word is a word of ideas. Well, you're right. But your ideas belong to this world. The stuff you grew up with, your friends, your family, the Air Force.
Chappie.
You know I'm right. All those memories, all the things you like, the happiness boys, Uncle Don and Sherlock Holmes.
Chappie, don't. I can't help you.
You have to.
They won't allow it.
They?
Me, the rest of me, the part that was once them, is trying to stop me.
Is there anything that we can do?
Yes.
Tell us. Just tell us.
I'm being drowned in the... They're taking the words from me.
What words?
The words I can't tell you.
Try, Chappie.
Those words are gone. But remember the first thing I said to you.
Pappy. First thing he said to me. What was the first thing he said to me? We met at the base and he said to me, "What's your name, sport?" That's what he said.
What's your name, sport? What is sport? Oh, athletic, no?
That's not what he means. But it's the first thing he ever said to me.
No.
Not the first thing he ever said, but not the first thing he said now.
He said, don't shoot. Choppy, don't shoot.
He's right. But why? Why don't shoot? Because shoot can hurt. Destroy, maybe, the box.
Hurry, hurry, before it gets too cold to hold a gun. Hurry!
Chappy? I think you're going to be all right. You were picked up before the frost could really get you.
Olga.
The girl? Well, actually, her outfit landed the same time we did. They took her, we took you.
Listen to me. There was this thing from space somewhere. It lives on energy. It drained all the power from the engines, the radio, from everything.
Uh-huh.
Don't look at me like that. That's why we crashed.
You crashed because you had a power failure.
How do you account for Ivan?
Well, I guess he must have had one, too.
Isn't that maybe just too much of a coincidence?
Life's made up of coincidences.
Okay. Poppy. Why couldn't you find Pappy?
Well, he must have wandered off.
And Ivan. What was his name? Dimitri. Did he wander off, too?
It's the only explanation.
Look, I am trying to give you the real explanation. Did you find a blue box?
Sure. It was a broken old computer housing from a space satellite.
Dawson, I am trying to explain to you.
Chappy, I'm trying to explain to you. Leave well enough alone.
When it has to do with space and phenomena of that nature, the official reply is always a rather evasive, let well enough alone. Officially, there are nothing but denials when questions of space, UFOs, the Bermuda Triangle, are brought into question. The powers that be seem to ascribe them all to the imaginings of well-meaning but deluded folk, like you and me. I'll be back shortly.
Horses and fire trucks and marching bands. They're all coming into your living room tomorrow. But don't worry. Rensenbach will clean the carpet. It's the televised Indianapolis 500 Festival Parade, and it'll pass over a block-long stretch of black and white carpet to be cleaned later by Rensenbach, America's number one home rental carpet cleaner and the official carpet cleaning system for the Indianapolis 500 Festival Parade. Rensenbach does the tough jobs. Watch for it on television tomorrow.
You know the kind of day when it's so hot, the baseball game's canceled on account of sun? Well, that's the time for Country Time.
Country Time, Country Time, tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country Time lemonade flavor drink. Not too tart, not too sweet, with natural lemon flavor. When you got a thirst for the taste of good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country Time, Country Time, tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Why are so many people buying Buick's New Century? Well, it depends on who you ask. Mrs. Marcia Resnick?
It holds the road, and it drives really smooth. It's nice.
And Mrs. Phil Jackson?
I like it because it's roomy.
And Mr. Jackson, he can't even begin to tell you all the reasons why he likes their new Buick Century.
I really wouldn't know where to start.
But then that says a lot about Buick's New Century and why it's drawing a crowd at your Buick dealer.
Hey there, home improver. You see, the old paint on your house is wearing a little thin, and so's your bank account. Well, right now you can save a bundle, Bunky, at your Olympic dealer. Buy 4 gallons of any one Olympic product and get one more free. Olympic overcoat, the house paint made to cover old paint. Olympic stain in both oil and latex. Hurry, one free with 4 on all Olympic products till May 29th at your participating Olympic dealer. He's in the yellow pages.
Wondering whatever became of Lieutenant Stuart Maitland Chapman and Praskovya Alexandrovna Sorokin, or, if you will, Chappie and Olga. You can understand how difficult it would be for them even to encounter each other again, much less engage in a courtship. This, of course, shows most poignantly that the greatest distances are not in outer space, but right here, between one side of a frontier and the other. If you're a romantic and want to believe they surmounted all the considerable problems and got together, well, then believe it, with my blessing. Our cast included Mason Adams, Mandel Kramer, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS Radio News is next. This is KOOO-FM, Omaha, Nebraska, Oof. With more good radio for more people. Central Daylight Savings Time is 10 p.m.
Oh, that's a good idea, having a station called Koof. K-O-O-F.
Better than having one called Koof.
It's catchy. Sorry, that's bad. That's right. Cough. Lots of time left. We gotta have
lots of time left, but
fun.
But there should be something you learn from this, right?
There could be. There could be. And if I thought about it and pondered about it, I betcha I could figure out what it is. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a Gar-less moral of the story. From Gar, kind of. Go ahead. You got it.
Oh, okay. Moral of the story, the punchline that hit you in the nose.
Well, no. Stop. Wait.
What?
That's not how you begin it. You got to have the wind up.
Oh, I don't have that voice with me today.
Shall I?
Please.
Apologies to God. Oh, sorry about that, Gar. With apologies to Gar. Moral is... Don't rename your radio station KOOF.
Okay, here's his real moral. Gar sent us along the punchline. With apologies to Gar. So that punchline that hits you in the nose isn't as funny as expected.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
Yes.
Next week we're holding auditions. Apologies.
More like a nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Indeed. Oh, we've got lots of fun stuff. We could do songs, or we could do a clip, or. We could see if we got some Stan Freeberg just for a minute.
Too bad about radio.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, since television, you know, hardly anybody listens to radio anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. There's a radio in use for every man, woman, and teenager in America.
Really? Gee, I'd hate to think of them all turning them on at once.
They do. Every morning.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio?
See, she could have done that with apologies to Gar. She could have done that.
She could have, yes.
Yeah. She had the...
Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
Shirley Bassey.
They don't write good commercials like that down. Anymore. Where it's almost like a big...
No, you don't.
You know, musical production.
Old singer.
Now they get a crummy remake of a 60s song and call that production work. Okay, whatever.
What you talking about, Will?
So whatever shall we do to help fill the 15-minute gap we have
run for
the Richard Nixon tape?
Run for the hills.
Oh, yes. The Nixon tape. Yes, let's interview the supposedly very competent secretary who turned herself into a human pretzel to hit a pedal, to hit a button,
wow,
and blank out 15 minutes of tape. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yep. Yes, let's play the Watergate tapes. Why not? Do we have them?
Only the gap. Only the gap.
Only the gap.
Yeah, we have the gap. Here it is.
No.
All right, there it is.
And
hey,
the rest
hey,
of it
I heard
just like
there.
That.
All righty.
That was Nixon humming in the background. All right, I'm going to just get up here and spin the wheel and get it over with.
Okay, you can spin that.
What you talking about, Will? Spin.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Out of dusk and a hearty I-O, Silver, the Lone Ranger. Welcome, welcome to Philco Radio Time, Ranger.
Thanks, Bing.
Hello, Mr. Ranger.
Hello. Hey, is this your oldest boy, Bing?
Oh, no, that's... that's Walter O'Keefe. He's older than I am. Look, if I am, I'd better go lie down. It's time for my nap. Walter, let's not be termagant now in front of the Lone Ranger. Termagant? Yes. Get an interpreter termagant. This fella is the idol of millions of kids. One of our most popular cowboys. Well, he's such a big cowboy, let's hear him sing something.
Sorry, Mr. O'Keefe, I don't sing.
My hand.
Thank you, sir. I wouldn't take up singing even if Silver started playing the piano.
You know Silver might fool you. I'll bet you can play the piano.
Say, Bing, I never hear anything about your racehorses anymore. Where are they?
I wish I knew. There's a big reward out for them for kidnapping jockeys. All is just joshing, Ranger. I sold my horses to a fella.
For money?
Sure. Sold them to a fella in Kentucky.
Oh, Confederate money. That's different.
That's different, but it's pretty money. It's very pretty. Well, Ranger, as long as you're here and dressed for the part, supposing we get on the trail of some desperados, I think we should put on a little play here.
Okay. Tell you what, Bing. You can be the sheriff who creep along Crosby.
Okay, Ranger.
And Walter will be the assistant creep. Droop along O'Keefe.
What's his name?
Droop along O'Keefe.
Droop along.
You got that, huh?
Yep.
Good.
Yep, Crosby creeps and I droop. Right. It's time to... Will you set the scene?
Certainly, Bing.
Hi-yo, Kenneth away!
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you back to the days of the last frontier. Our scene opens in the jailhouse of that dusty little Texas cow town known throughout the West as Dusty Little Cowtown, Texas.
I'm the sheriff. Creep along Crosby.
We find Sheriff Crosby barracuded in his own jail.
Oh. Hey, that's barricaded, Kenneth.
Thank you.
No barracudas in Texas.
We find Sheriff Crosby hiding in his own jail with his deputy, who's dressed in black trousers with a black Stetson on top of his black hair, and his black eyes peer out from under bushy black brows that match his black mustache. Sheriff Crosby speaks to him.
Say, Red, my name... Hey, Red.
My name's Droopalong, Creepalong.
Well, Droopalong, as sheriff of this town, I calculate to clean out Three-Fingered Luke and his gang of rustlers.
Three-Fingered Luke?
Yep.
You mean Four-Fingered Luke?
Three-Fingered Luke. Don't you read Winchell's column?
How do you lose another finger, Creepalong?
Well, Drupalong here's sharpening a pencil in one of them newfangled pencil sharpeners and forgot to say when.
What's Luke doing with pencils? He can't write.
Don't use them for writing. Use them for toothpicks.
See, that's a good idea. After he picks a tooth, he can put an X on it so he don't forget and pick it again.
Yeah. Well, we've been hiding in this here jail ever since Three Fingers Luke.
I'll read it again.
Where is that good?
Where is he now? Back in the upper rack? We've been hiding in this here jail ever since Three-Fingered Luke and his gang came to town.
This is a grim situation, Creepalong.
You're Creepalong.
Oh, yeah. I tell you.
Creepalong. I tell you, I'm worried sick.
No, you're Creepalong.
Oh, I keep forgetting. Well, the situation's desperate. Luke is coming over here and shoot up the jail. Unless we put a gold frame around his picture that's hanging in the post office.
It ain't in the post office no more. I hung it in the bathroom.
Away out yonder!
Yes!
Drupalong, I'm really on the spot. I got to get me the Lone Ranger. There's our man. If we can get him to help us.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Why, it's the Lone Ranger. What are you doing here, Lone Ranger?
I'm lonesome.
Well, I don't blame you. You've been standing outside there for about 4.5 pages. Hey. What's that piece of rope dangling in your hand there, Ranger?
I either found a lasso or lost a horse.
Sure good to see you here, Ranger.
Well, boys, we're not getting anywhere cowering here in the jail. Let's get out and find Two-Fingered Luke. Come on, men. Hail Silver! Hoy! Hey, Silver, come back. I'm not on yet. Hey, Silver, hey! All right, pull up here, man. Whoa, steady, big fellow, whoa.
Whoa, Savington. Whoa, Crampton.
I'll be very quiet, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's Luke's cabin there in the clearing. Everybody down on their hands and knees, and we'll crawl through the sagebrush.
Okay. This crawling is sure tough on your knees.
Keep your head down, Drupalong.
Say, I'll be... Where are you, fellas? Hey, fellas! Where are you?
Drupalong, you're in a gopher hole.
I thought it was kind of dark. Unless you know them gophers, come on out. We got to draw our gun. Say, Creepalong... You better hold your hand over the muzzle of your gun.
What for?
All the candy's spilling out.
Quiet. Quiet, man. Quiet. I'm going to smoke Luke out of his cabin.
Let me smoke Luke out, Ranger.
You know how?
Do I? Well, I've been smoking Luke's for nigh on a 20...
All right, then. Start shooting.
Hold your fire, Creepalong. Luke's coming out.
Yeah, I'll surrender, man.
I knew we'd get you, Luke.
Well, I ain't worried about you or Creepalong, Drupalong.
You ain't, huh?
Nope. But when the Lone Ranger comes to town, I just gotta come out.
Well, thank you, Luke.
Say, Ranger, could I have your autograph and a silver bullet?
Well, I don't know. Sheriff, what's this man's record?
Well, I'll tell you, Ranger. Let me see here. He's wanted for bank robbing, cattle rustling, pouring pies in water holes, holding up stagecoaches, claim jumping. And he's also 16 cents overdue on his library card.
16 cents overdue on his library card?
Well, it ain't my fault, Ranger. With my shortage of fingers, it takes me longer to turn pages. Half the time, I'm a licking air.
That's no excuse, Luke. Come on, Creepalong. Let's take this criminal back to jail. Come on, Silver! Hail, Silver! Fire!
Hey, a little fun there from Bing Crosby and the Lone Ranger.
It's the only comedy program I've ever caught the Lone Ranger on. Very fun.
Yep.
Race Beamer.
I saw a...
Oh, yeah, we have...
an episode of Lassie with
that.
The Lone Ranger.
What's that now?
I saw an episode of Lassie with the Lone Ranger as a guest.
Really?
Yeah. Timmy was like some, I don't know, he became some kind of ranger thing. It was a crossover.
Oh, did Lassie and Silver laugh when they tossed the Lone Ranger and Timmy down the well?
Timmy never fell down the well. It's all a lie. He was thrown.
And when it comes to radio plays about the Lone Ranger, for some reason, that always reminds me of the little Lenny Bruce cartoon with him and the Lone Ranger. Is anyone familiar with that?
No, I don't. Not familiar with that.
No,
No.
Make haste and go to YouTube or just look it up online, Lenny Bruce and the Lone Ranger skit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Bill Cosby also did a Lone Ranger skit about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I wasn't allowed to listen to Lenny Bruce albums. He was dirty.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
And now,
I could watch Red Fox on television, but I couldn't listen to his records. Nope, not allowed there. Not allowed there.
Yeah, it's funny, though. That's how things turned out. Now Cosby's maybe the one you don't want to listen to.
He's still a talented storyteller.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question.
Yeah. I'm sure Jack the Ripper was a really nice guy, too, in many facets, but neither here nor there.
Oh, yeah. him and I used to hang out.
He was very skilled with a knife. You know, what can you say?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. See, you can always say something nice about anybody.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
You try. Boy, that Jack the Ripper, he knew how to flip a knife around. He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. And that Henry VIII, wow, he knew how to throw a party, you know. One wife down, party. Two wives down, party. Even invited the axemen, you know, come on in. Just clean off that great big blade before you track it all over in the castle. There you go.
You just have to be careful when you were in when you were at a dance and Jack the Ripper asked if he could cut in. Had to be careful.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
There you go. All righty.
No, you may not.
Jack Ripper, he knew how to cut a rug. Oh, yeah.
Ouch. Ouch.
Well, that was a cutting remark. Oh, stop me.
You slay me.
Okay.
Oh, cut it out. All righty.
Oh, good heavens. It's the chipmunks. Run.
It was.
Alvin!
It was my son. I'll just have to call him. I will have to call my son back after the podcast. That's all.
Holy cats, we're running out of time. Look at all the fun we had. We'll be back next week, I guess, with the strangers all around us. Yep.
Yep.
We're going to have Rogues Gallery, Rocky Jordan, The Sealed Book. Good. Some programs we haven't heard in a while. However,
CBS Radio Mystery Theater
returns on Saturday.
No. We had to replace the Mystery Theater because we recently played that one. So, if we look there, we'll have a suspense and a whistler on Saturday.
Send me the correction there.
Sorry.
Because I won't remember my name tomorrow.
I'll send it. I send it to you.
Want to thank everybody, the good old Bob who had to hit the skids. Fox Bane's still here. Don't forget, Gar the Ghoul in about 40 seconds or so over on them Twitches. Any luck. Or he'll be cursing his provider. One of the two.
Internet service provider.
Yep. And in addition to Kolchak's birthday, we also have
yes.
Orson Welles would have been 107 and still dead.
And still dead, yeah.
So no Vince.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always obediently yours.
Oh, they missed the door.
But I always admired that way that Orson said his farewell, obediently yours. How gallant, how urbane.
How bunch of full of crap that was. He was a guy that wanted to pull all the strings all the time, obedient to no one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but, you know, he was a presence. He actually was quite a presence.
Yeah.
At one point, he was a presence and a half, but still.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes,
puts down no meal before his time.
Now. He just had discipline in other facets of life. It's just that him, and along with Mom and Brando, and quite possibly 99% of the people in this nation, just can't say no to, you know, would you like extra fries with that?
I'm one of them.
Yeah. He said, somebody asked him why he was growing a beard. He said it hides a multitude of chins, you know.
Oh.
Jeez.
Hey, with all due respect, the ZZ Top's beards combined couldn't have hidden that all that, but...
Oh, wow. Jeez. That's awesome.
Oh, I've been hanging out with you guys too much. It's just contamination.
We've contaminated you.
Three Mile Island meets Chernobyl or something.
We finally broke her, Dale. We finally broke her.
I feel a sense of accomplishment. I feel good about it. A sense of relief. A sense of accomplishment.
I do need to get on the Alvin phone and call my son back here.
Okay, Doug.
I'm going to let you two continue as I slip away here.
Slip away.
We can just say our farewells now. If you'd like to stay for just a quick moment, I can call Mr. Grant.
Okay.
Time to take the stage for your audience away. Night. Sir.
Good night.
The goat is in tune with the night.
What for is this sake but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we say, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash,
wherever
you are, the power behind the flames.